The next bit of quite good fortune was my introduction to Mr. Charles Priest, chief electrician of a leading submarine cable company with many cable lines to Europe. I had a wonderful time with this company, and my stay at Far Rockaway, where the cables came in, was wonderfully interesting and rewarding. One night I was watching the neat signals coming in on the tape from the German cable. Suddenly, the neat wiggles turned into violent splashes of the recording needle. I called the night operator and drew his attention to the fact, suggesting that the cable must have broken. He said immediately, "Of course it's broken. We'll have to shut down," which we did. That cut out all traffic on the German cable, and it was my good fortune to have the cable, so far as the leg to the Azores was concerned, all to myself for research purposes. It also meant that I could now work during the day at Far Rockaway and cut out all night work. I should explain perhaps at this point that by now I had acquired a fair competence both in sending messages on the keys and in receiving messages on the slip, though I was by no means expert. My job, now that I had a cable to myself, was to discover by experimental trial and error how best and most easily I could improve the shape of the incoming signals. The squarer and clearer they were, the faster could an operator send messages and read them as they came in. To do this, I needed the cooperation of the operator at Fayal in the Azores. He would have to send me messages, and when I saw them coming in on the slip, I would be able to do something about shaping them up. My first order of business was to get acquainted with the operator at Fayal Azores. I got on the keys and almost immediately received a message from him. We exchanged names, and then he informed me that New York had already told him about me and what I wanted him to do at his end. Very clumsily, I apologized for my inexperience in both sending and receiving. Back came his reply, "Think nothing of it, old man. I can read you fine. And if I send too fast, just tell me and I'll slow down." I took an instant liking to this man, a man I had never seen and probably never would see. Our only means of communication was our ability to translate funny little wiggles down the center of the receiving tape into words having meaning. These days, of course, these days when radio communication is a commonplace, we would talk over the air. We might even talk over the cable. I do not think there is the same romance about direct communication as there was in those days of the First World War, when we had to rely on our ability to read the tape.